Good evening. Welcome to the newly titled Politically Incorrect with host Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast is Our Lost Heritage, History Being Erased. Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is Andrew Schechter. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online and help keep the truth alive and online. We open tonight's session with a prayer. A prayer to all the police officers and police institutions in the United States of America and the military and all those who keep peace, that they may amongst their ranks see the beauty and the value of all life and of humanity, and uphold the reputation of their positions as keepers of the peace. Sadly, Lord, we're losing not only our own sanity, but the sanity of those who protect and protect our great nation, both at a local level and at a military. We pray, dear Lord, that our world comes back together again, and there's peace amongst us once again, as in the beginning. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over the earth, and all over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. We pray that you assist in coming back to our beginnings, O Lord. Amen. And with that, the topic being tonight, our lost heritage. Now, our heritage includes a lot, way back to Genesis. Genesis is in the Bible is the very creation of humankind and morality. And it goes with other works across the world, not just the Christian Bible or the Jewish Torah, but all have that same beginning. And yet something happens after time. We're in a very dark period right now. For those who believe that Satan rules the earth and exists now, you might be right. There are truly two sides to humanity, the good and the evil. So we're going to look at a few of these things tonight. And let's begin with the very beginning, where our heritage began. Now, as we're seeing now, the modern heritage, the beginnings of our nation are being destroyed one by one. Our history is being removed, statue by statue, book by book, words by words, our Constitution and Declaration of Independence being decimated. But where did it all begin? Well, it began with Cain and Abel back in the days of the serpent, back in Genesis. But let's look at where it began. So God created man in his image, in his likeness, after our likeness, and that they shall have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, cattle all over the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then it goes on to say, so God created man in his own image. So a lot of women say, well, the Bible is misogynistic, and now they're going after the Bible. And Black Lives Matter, or alleged Black Lives Matter, is going after the white Jesus. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus wasn't white. It's highly doubtful that in that region at that time where Jesus was raised, he was probably a darker skin than people living there now even. So they're going after their own when they do that, because Jesus was of God. Now, what? Now, you would go after Jesus. Why would you do that when Jesus create, or God rather, created man in his own image. So let's tear this apart line by line. In the image of God, we are created. In the image of God. So that means that we, our souls, are godly. We have the power to reign over the earth. It was given to us by God. We are supposed to reign over our earth and rule the world as God would rule his children. But what about the women who complain that the Bible is misogynistic and male-oriented? And yes, a lot of it is, because that's the way it was when it was written. Let's look at the continuation of the line. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Then it goes on, male and female, he created them. So what's the problem with that? You know, women are equal to men, according to God. They had that right since long before Christ, since the beginnings of the earth. We forget that sometimes. You know, I tell people, when you're going to read the Bible, you could tear out every page of the Bible except the book of Genesis. Every page of it. And you would understand God and God's creation. But that's why the left wants to eliminate Genesis. They want to remove Genesis. They want to defactualize it. And yet every day, science proves Genesis more and more. Proves that what's said in the Bible is indeed true. Then it goes on to say, and God blessed them. So he blessed the people that he created, Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Maybe we should tell that to Planned Parenthood. You can't be fruitful and you can't replenish the earth when you're killing all your babies. And by the way, if you haven't gotten a message, I'm pretty angry tonight. I'm angry at the world right now. I'm angry at the people that are disrespecting our president, our God, and our nation. I've seen veterans. There are many veterans out there that are disrespecting our president and our nation. There was one right in my own neighborhood that a lady was talking to him, thanked him for his service, went on, and then he said he disliked the president, he disliked their nation. And she said, sir, I no longer respect you. I still respect the fact that you fought for us, but I do not respect you as a human being. Because you fought and could have died protecting your nation. And now you're saying, and now you're disrespecting it and saying you don't like your president and you don't like our nation. So yeah, I'm a bit angry right now. And you should be very angry too. You should be angry enough to stand up and start shouting. That's why I'm shouting tonight, because I can shout and I need to shout. I can't sit still over this. This is insane. What's going on is crazy. Some of the fights in the streets, some of the brawls. And you know what? You know what really gets me? You have Black Lives Matter. Oh, it's all about the Black Lives Matter. And yes, there's a lot of brutality. There's a lot of issues with especially white police, but even black police. Police have become power hungry, which is why they need some prayers. Because they need to be a little less power hungry and a little more user friendly. But what are these Black Lives Matter doing? First of all, there are very few blacks in the Black Lives Matter crowd. I don't know if you've looked at the videos and seen the news stories. 90% of the people fighting and tearing down statues and burning down their towns are white kids, spoiled white kids. Why? White kids who are willing to be chained by blacks in their neighborhood, beg forgiveness for sins they didn't commit in a time that didn't exist when they were alive. Why? And yet the whole movement is tearing down and destroying the black neighborhoods, the very neighborhoods that they're saying they want to protect and save. It makes no logical sense. And then there's the books, the burning of the books. The very first book. We don't burn them anymore. We just ban them. You can't buy them. You can't find them. I made sure to download a few of them. So let's have a bedtime story. And we're going to talk about this for a minute. And I know I'm going to get some blowback on this one. One of my favorite stories as a kid was Little Black Sambo. You know, I respected black people. When I was a kid, I used to ride the bus. You know, wouldn't do it anymore, but I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I'd ride the bus. It was near Philadelphia. I was in a suburb, ride it to the mall to take my coins that I would get for doing chores, put them in the bank, and I'd ride the bus. I remember it was called the Auk bus. What a name. Doesn't exist anymore. And SEPTA took over the whole works. But I would get on that bus with my bag full of change. And the first few times I did that, when I was allowed to do it on my own, I noticed all the black people were sitting in the back of the bus. This was in the 60s. So what in the hell's the matter with that? Well, a curious kid, I went back and I said, excuse me. I said, why are you sitting in the back of the bus? And I don't remember the answer exactly. It was basically because that's what we're supposed to do. What's what we have to do, something to that effect. So, well, you know what? I said, I'm going to tell you two things. I said, first of all, don't feel bad about it. Because there are people that love you. I said, I love you. I feel for you. And you know what? They're fools up front because it's actually more fun riding in the back of the bus. And we started a conversation. For about the next 8 years until the blacks gained more equality and Martin Luther King Jr. came in and did his bit, I rode that bus. I rode the back of that bus every week when I went with my allowance to the bank. And I made some great friends. And I made those people feel good that were on that bus about sitting in the back. And they knew that a white person, a little white boy, would sit with them. And, you know, that's true equality, because I've never changed. My attitude has never changed. And I don't understand, because I was raised that way, and I don't understand how people can think otherwise about another person. So here's a bedtime story, my favorite story. And then we're going to talk about this. Once upon a time, there was a little black boy. His name was Little Black Sambo. And his mother was called Black Mumbo. And his father was called Black Jumbo. And Black Mumbo made him a beautiful little red coat and a pair of beautiful blue trousers. Now, wasn't that nice? I haven't seen anything bad about this book yet. And Black Jumbo went to the bazaar and bought him a beautiful green umbrella and a lovely little pair of purple shoes with crimson soles and crimson linings. And then wasn't Little Black Sambo grand? So it's just said that this little black child was absolutely wonderful. His parents were great to them, and he dressed them up. Now, the story gets more interesting without reading the entire tale. Basically, he goes out in the woods, and some mean tigers come after him. They each take some of his clothes till he's totally naked in the woods, in the forest. Then they start fighting the tigers, and they start ripping the clothes off so they can fight with each other. Little Black Sambo goes up to the tigers and says, look, you don't want this. I'm going to take my clothes back. So he's all dressed again. The tigers continued to fight. And eventually they went around a tree and turned into butter because they went so fast around the tree. The Little Black Sambo took that butter home to his mom, and they made pancakes with it. Now tell me what is bad about this story. And I'm sorry. It's a great story about success. It's a story about how you can't take what's not yours and enjoy it. How, I guess people would call revenge is sweet. It's a wonderful tale. And I'm glad I downloaded a copy, because I probably won't be able to get this in the store anymore. But that was one of the first books that was banned. Can't talk about blacks. And guess what? Did you know that Little Black Sambo wasn't an was not an African American? He was an Indian, not American Indian, Indian, like as an Indian. But it's the first book that the African Americans banned because of its nature. They banned Aunt Jemima. They want to take Aunt Jemima off the Quaker Oats, Quaker Oats wants to take Aunt Jemima off the bottle. Vera Harris, the second cousin of the woman that the of Lillian Richard, which was the image on the 1920 or 25, bottle. They're going after Aunt Jemima, or after Quaker Oats for taking her off of there. She was a working woman. She was a respected working woman for many, many years, worked for Quaker Oats and promoted them. But no, a respectable black woman on the bottle of a syrup who worked and earned a living in the days when not only were blacks not respected, but neither were women. I think it's a serious accomplishment. I think they should be proud of it. I don't get it. And the odd thing is that it's not the first time that Quaker Oats has had a battle. They had a battle several years before that, even, and up until the 1960s, the Quakers were fighting them because the Quaker on Quaker Oats with the little hat, he's not a Quaker. He's a Presbyterian. And the Quakers despise the Presbyterians. Yet they put a Presbyterian in Quaker getup on the box. They gave up because it was too difficult to fight them. Now, true, on the original Aunt Jemima was from 1834. The original Aunt Jemima was a slave woman, but they never really used her. And she would have been a stereotype that might have been objectionable. But the one they're objecting to is the working woman, the working black woman in an era when black women just didn't work. Unbelievable. You know, we talk about equal rights, and a lot of my Christian friends seriously don't believe in equal rights. You know, you hear a lot of these evangelicals, a lot of these television evangelicals in particular, going after the gays, going after minorities, going after anything. And a lot of my friends on Facebook are going after, you know, even our health secretary who's changed gender on it. You know, I personally don't approve of these things. But what did God say? What did Jesus say? Who throws the first stone? Those without sin throw the first stone. I don't know about you, but there's not a human being born on this planet that I'm aware of that's free of sin. And if you think of us as being equals, then you need to respect others for who they are. Not how they act, but who they are. If they act disrespectfully, if they act poorly, that's a whole different matter. But don't disrespect their beliefs or their personal actions that don't affect you. So let's look at where this equality comes from. So when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. That's in Congress, July 4, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That's self-evident, not open to discussion, not necessary to discuss. It's obvious, abundantly obvious. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men are created equal. All men are created equal. that they are endowed by their creator, not by government, not by my neighbor, by their creator. The creator that Black Lives Matter wants to get rid of. The creator that the atheists want to get rid of. Our Declaration of Independence says we are endowed by that creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, just why did we separate from England? You know, there's a couple things in this Declaration of Independence that are very interesting. So we take the state of Pennsylvania and our great governor, who's far overstepped his bounds to the point where he's in violation of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, refuses to abide by the will of the legislator, the people, the representatives of the people. In the Declaration of Independence, talking about the King of England, he has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He's obstructed the administration of justice. He's endeavored to prevent the population of these states for the purpose of obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass orders to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriation of land. And it goes on to say that, you know, he's put citizen against citizen to turn each other in, basically. This is why we left England. Folks, this is why we left England. This is why we fought that battle. Why so many people died, and so many people died to create our Constitution and our United States of America. We're losing this. The other interesting thing that it goes on to say is that to secure these rights, and this is a very important part, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Where do they get their powers from? Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is a right of the people to alter or abolish it. It's stating that the governments, that we, the people, control the government by our consent. If we agree to things that are wrong, if we agree to do nothing, we're consenting. We're having our rights and our nation taken away. We've got no one to blame but ourselves. Ourselves. We need to stand up. We need to stand tall. We need to stand proud. We need to stand by us, by our Constitution, by our God, by our president. No matter what it takes, no matter what the consequences, or we'll lose it all. And again, you can tell, tonight I'm very mad. I've heard a lot of things that it will be on future podcasts, but I'm very mad. I'm mad at us, not at our government, not at Black Lives Matter, not at this virus that is or is not for real, or the conspiracies that might lie behind it. But at us for consenting and giving our consent to be belittled and beat down by these rules, by these governments, by these entities, that if we are beat down by them, we change the rules and the laws by allowing our consent. We can't give our consent any longer. It's time to stand up for what we believe in. Before it's all gone. Nathan Hale had an interesting bit. We're going to close shortly. But a very interesting bit about a patriot. Neath the blue moon, the sunny morn, he dies upon the tree. And he mourns that he can lose but one life for liberty. and in the blue morn, the sunny morn, his spirit wings are free. But his last words, his message words, they burn, lest friendly eye should read how proud and calm a patriot can die. With his last words, his dying words, a soldier's battle cry. Are you willing to give what it takes, even your life for your country? I'll be totally honest with you. I am, because our country's worth it. I'm willing to give whatever it takes to keep our nation, to keep our Constitution, to keep our rights and our liberties, to keep our statues, to keep our books, to keep our institutions, and to fight for the equality of all people. We can't be belittling others, whether we like them or not, or whether we believe in them or not. We believe in what they believe in. And too many good Christians are doing that. It's not just the atheists. It's not just those who are willing to eliminate God from their lives. It's a fact of life from Genesis. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are all equal. We are all brethren in this world. Let's work together. Let's sit down and make this work. It's tough. It's really tough. I'll leave you with a parting thought about what a patriot does, about what a believer does. When I was running for U.S. Senate in 2018, I was invited to Philadelphia, one of the worst areas, one of the most evil areas, second probably only to New York City, to talk about patriotism. It was a patriotic rally. You know? And I got up and started to talk. And the audience, you could see in their eyes, the meekness in their eyes, the fear. And I had talked to them prior to my speech. A lot of them said, but my family. But my friends, they'll come after me. They'll come after my job. And you know what I did? And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what I did because it's what I believe in. I stood there, and this is on my website. I actually downloaded the video. I became part of an Antifa video because of this. They actually put me in the video. But I stood up there, and I looked at the audience, and I said, you're all cowards. You're all going to be enslaved by the government. Said, you're all cowards. It said, I'm not a coward. If anyone is with me, stand with me. And I looked right out. I took the speakers and pointed them, and they told me, they said, don't point those speakers. The police said not to point them. I pointed them anyway, across the street where Antifa was marching. And I looked at them. I said, listen, this is my name. I gave my name, my address, and my phone number. I said, I dare you to come after me. I said, because I'm coming after you. Well, I'm still here talking to you today, folks. And there's a lot of people that stand clear of me. As one individual who's telling everybody else, at this point, it's time to stand up. It's time to worry about our nation and our future as a number one priority, or we'll lose everything. God bless every one of you. God bless this great nation. Thanks for listening to this wonderful podcast. Come back again next week when Politically Incorrect will be once again politically incorrect, all depending on the topic of the day, all depending on what happens during the coming week. Everybody, have a good night, and may God bless every one of you. Good night.